Morgan, monitor.
Oh, it was last week, wasn't it? Hi, it's time to stay in the morning and in the evening on Monitor 73 on NBC. Yeah.
I can Tina Turner with a soul burner. Not but to the limit.
Work church out. House, gin house.
Hello, community.
Shake your money maker, mama. Ike and Tina Turner, Nutbush, City Limits. I'm Imus in the Evening on Monitor 73. It is time now on Imus in the Evening for Imus in Washington, an emphasis report. I'd like to call this NBC Emphasis. Our report today is on the future, possible future of Richard Nixon. This is one possibility. The day after tomorrow, the Senate Watergate Committee and the Security Council of the United Nations will meet in joint session to declare that upon Richard M. Nixon's resignation from the White House, he will be crowned, sitting on a snow-white camel, Effendi Reb Richard, monarch of a newly created state in the Sinai, serving as a buffer between Israel and Egypt. This solution, ending two crises simultaneously, will be made attractive to Mr. Nixon by allowing him to retain, in Foreign Legionnaire uniform, the strolling strings of the U.S. Marine Band, by the installation of a hotline from the royal tent to leading football stadiums in the U.S., and by the construction of a replica of Camp David on the top of Mount Sinai itself.
I'm Imus in the morning.
Or, how about this one? The day after tomorrow, impeachment proceedings are interrupted by the president's emergency trip to Moscow. Nixon goes into instant conference with the Communist Politburo. He announces through Dr. Kissinger the cancellation of both the USA and the USSR of their mutual extradition treaty. He then defects to the Soviet Union. Or how about this? The day after tomorrow, Nixon stops his Senate trial with announcement of the invasion of the USA by a combined force of Martian and Albanian troops. He accuses Alger Hiss, Myrna Loy, Archibald Cox, and Colonel Hoexe of conspiring with 3,000 UFOs. He instructs SAC to dispatch ICBMs at Mars, sends all H-bomb planes toward Tyrrhenia, publishes an affidavit of White House physician declaring him healthy and the nation insane, boards Air Force One and orders it, with himself in the cockpit, to crash into the Imperial Castle at Disneyland. Just a thought. Saturday night, all right. We have to be off at 13:50 exactly. Give you guys out there. Riding game, man. Hang on here a minute now. Well, we got a great show for you tonight. Right, Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargan's going to be here. Judge Hagen, who has the distinction of being dead, will be on the show. We have to leave a minute here. We're going to have the NBC updates next. After that, we'll be back rocking and rolling right on the Monitor Beacon.
C update.
I'm up in the morning.
Okay, we're back on the Monitor case. Got some interesting mail I'm going to share with you. What's Reverend Hargan? Let's bring those down.
Every time I see your face, it's like anymore. Every time I see your face,
your star and photograph every time I see your face. I'm Imerson in the morning and in the evening on Monitor 73 on NBC. This may surprise you, but I'm going to tell you something about sewing. I've been forced to do this because it is a commercial bought and paid for, part of what makes Imerson Monitor possible. Are you ready? When sewing, guys, please do not stick the needle in your finger. If you do, you will bleed. Perhaps you'll get angry, and you may cry. And girls, you may bawl, and just mess up the whole job. Will you remember that? I'll remember this, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with a lovely Cinderella who seems to be cutting a pattern for a gown. Formative interview. Bye now.
He's cute, but he's no Prince Charming.
The preceding interview was brought to you by Selma Diamond for Wiss, because there's nothing sharper than a diamond except Wiss cutting tools.
I'm Us in the morning.
Don't give up, Selma. Just hang in there, man. Something'll happen, you know. Do the sewing commercial, and next thing you know, it'll be a movie or TV or something. That's the number one record in America. Gladys Knight. Phillips.
Too much for the man.
Too much for the man.
Well, let's have some of your soul now, Gladys. Well, hold back. Some hunky sing about Moon River, don't it? And what record, America? On Monitor 73 on NBC. Gladys Knight and the Pips and a midnight train to Georgia. I'm Imus in the morning and the evening on Monitor 73. Got Reverend Hargis standing by. Just hold a second. Did you hear Reverend Hargis last week on with Robert W. Morgan? Wasn't that sensational? I'll be sure and get that book. I don't believe it, though. He's got a book. So I'll believe it when I see it out on the stands. That's right. Sometime in the spring. I have a short note before Reverend Hargis comes in. Reverend Hargis got a very exciting record package offer for you. Those of you order them oldies but goodies and stuff, wait till you hear this. First of all, this note I received. Dear Imus, in the morning, in the evening, on Monitor 73 on NBC. That's kind of long. You can just call me Dear Imus if you guys want. A letter begins, I wanted you to be the first to know we have the new Richard Nixon recording in both stereo and monaural record albums. Sorry, no tapes. Sincerely yours, Butte House of Sound, Butte, Montana. Say hi,
please. I don't care if the rain don't freeze, as long as I got my plastic Jesus lying on the dashboard of my car.
Oh, yes.
I can go 100 miles an hour, as long as I got the almighty power glued up there by my pair of fuzzy lines.
One more time for him.
I don't care if the rain don't freeze, as long as I got my plastic Jesus lying on the dashboard of my car.
Yes, yes, yes.
Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis here on behalf of the First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship, coming to you from Holy Land, USA, America's first truly religious amusement park. Not another pilgrim trap, not another religious ripoff. Yes, we're located right here in Del Rio, Texas. Friends, you've heard it, it's true. For a limited time and a limited time only, you may purchase Billy Saul Hargis' Holy Land record package. That's right. Say hallelujah. You may now purchase for your very own home these original hits made famous by the original artist.
Oh, yeah.
Hear him and his disciples sing, for he's a jolly good fellow, recorded live at the Last Supper. Hear Mary on acoustic guitar with Rockabye Your Baby to a Dixie melody. Hear Joseph and the original Belmont sing, I Should Have Phoned Ahead. Yes, friends, unbelievable but true. Say hallelujah. Each of these original hits by the original artist can now be yours for your very own home. Due to today's modern recording techniques, you may play these hits with true stereo reproductions. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
If you'll send now for Billy Saul's Holy Land record package, you'll also receive the comedy album of the year featuring the way out freaky Mr. Moses with his truly startling predictions. Plus, for any hip to the jive teenage in the house, record set of Grand Funk's Leper Chant, along with the option to buy any further original hits by the original artist, should they ever become available. To order the Holy Land record package, say hallelujah. Simply send $3.98 cash, check, your money order to the Right Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis, care of the First Church of the Good Death and Discount House of Worship, right here in Del Rio, Texas.
All right.
Yes, as an extra bonus, if you send now, Billy Saul Hargis will send to you information on how you can become the owner and operator of a Billy Saul Hargis drive-in church and baptismal car wash. Yes. Say hallelujah. Say amen.
I'm Irma Shinney, evening in on Monitor. We'll be back in a minute.
Friend of mine, Buzzy Lindhurst, wrote that. He didn't give me nothing to play it. It's already a hit. Although, if it hadn't been a hit, I'd have taken something to play it. I'll tell you that right now. I am, who would say something like that dangerous on the airwaves? I miss it a morning and an evening on Monitor 73 on NBC. It is time now for a man who has the distinction of being able to perform while dead, Judge Hank.
Oh, wheel the judge in.
Good morning. No. Well, we don't have lighter day up here. Good evening, my fellow Americans. Judge Hagen is dead and comes to you from heaven. Today, my fellow Americans, Judge Hagen has something interesting that he'd like to talk to you about. First, Judge Hagen would like to remind you that the law is, after all, our friend. And anyone who hurts our friend should be beaten senseless. And speaking of being beat senseless, Judge Hagen would also like to remind you that police brutality is the fun part of law enforcement. It's a way for them to work off a little steam. Today's lesson. When the president gets up in the morning, he looks down on the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court gets up in the morning, they look down on the Senate. When the Senate gets up in the morning, they look down on the House of Representatives. When the House of Representatives gets up in the morning, they look down on the people. When the people get up in the morning, they look down. Because the people have no one to look up to. Remember, Judge Hagen is
110% American. Are you?
I'm us in the morning.
You okay, Judge? Yes, or not? Brand new governor. Sullivan, ooh, baby. I'm Imus in the morning, in the evening. On Monitor, we're going to pause for NBC update, and then we'll be back with No Man Night and the Night Train right on the Monitor. Beacon.
David Rush, NBC update.
Imus in the morning.
I'm back on Monitor 73. Imus in the morning, in the evening. Share. Half free. All right, Mom. Get down with your bad self.
My father married a priest. How I learned to hate the world. Half breed.
Share. And half breed. I'm Imus, in the morning and the evening on Monitor 73 on NBC. We're trying to place a telephone call here, and we won't have to take a little time right here on the air to do that, but you want to go ahead with it. Go ahead. All right, they're going to try to put the call through. I have a note here I want to share with you that I received in the mail, and it begins, "Dear Imus, in the evening on Monitor 73. I was talking to B.B. the other day on the telephone, and I said, 'B.B., that Judge Sirica sure is one hell of a fine American.' And B.B. said, 'Yes, I was just thinking the same thing. Boy, that Judge John Sirica is sure one fine guy. In fact, I was talking to some friends of mine that are in high-income, luxurious retirement property, and they said, boy, that Judge Sirica is one of the finest Americans to come down the pike in a long, long time. They said, you know, a guy like Judge Sirica shouldn't have to worry about a swell place to live when he gets ready to retire from a fine tenure as one of our most able public servants.' I said, 'You guys sure hit the nail on the head.' And then I said, 'B.B., you know, it's too bad that this telephone call isn't being taped so Judge Sirica could hear it for himself.' And B.B. said, It isn't being taped? Thank you for your time, Richard M. Nixon.'" I don't think it was that funny. Oh, it was disgusting to make fun of a guy that's in a lot of trouble. We ready on that call? Let's go ahead.
Hello, Dick. This Imus in New York.
Just one moment, please. Harry, would you turn on the air conditioner? Hello?
Mr. President, I received a note this morning from...
One moment, please. Could you speak a little louder, please?
Yep. I received a note...
That's fine. If you could keep that level, that would be just wonderful.
Yeah, are you recording this, Mr. President?
No, not at all, no. It's just that the air conditioning is so loud here.
You're sure you're not recording this?
Not at all. I told the American people that I would give up my telephone tapes. And I'll do that. I will give the Watergate Committee all of my telephone tapes. I will not, however, let me make this perfectly clear. I will not give up my 8-track stereo cassette of Grand Funk Railroad. That's mine. David Eisenhower gave that to me for Christmas last year.
Oh, Crater Face, huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'll have to use that on him when he's nasty.
Dick, what happened to the tapes?
You mean those two that they're talking about, those vicious attacks in the papers? On the radio, I heard those newscasts. I heard the NBC radio newscast from your show, Mr. Imus.
Yes, sir, I have no control over that.
I know how you feel. There's a lot of things I have no control over, too.
Well, where are the...
God knows I've lost control over most everything.
Where are the tapes, sir? Hello? Hello?
Imus in the morning.
Just a young up. I don't know. Remember My Maria? Here's a new one by B.W. Stevenson. River Love.
What do I do?
B.W. Stevenson on the River Love. I'm Imus at Eve, at a Monitor 73 on NBC. I've just been handed this telegram. It says, "Dear Imus in the evening on Monitor 73. Just heard your ripoff of, and rather poor impersonator of my voice, Mr. Imus. Heard some of the scandalous things you've been saying. I'd like to clarify once and for all the status of the tape recordings at issue. Since discovering two weeks ago that two of the 9 tapes were missing, misplaced, non-existent, or none of the above, I have carefully probed my memory. And, Mr. Imus, I believe I have come up with a plausible explanation of the unanswered questions raised by the tape's disappearance. It goes something like this. Once upon a time, in a far-off magic land, a magical people called Tapers lived quietly and happily. The Tapers dined exclusively on 3M Formula 17 lubricated 1 mil polyester audio tape. Well, Mr. Imus, the Tapers multiplied until there became so many of them that their basic food began to run short. The nation of the Tapers applied to the United States for assistance, and I, as your president, responded, sending vast shipments of tape recordings to them in order to stave off famine. Unfortunately, the two missing tapes in question were mixed up in a shipment of food to the Tapers, and that's what happened to them. The Tapers ate them.
Imus in the morning.
Do lang, do lang, do lang. Do lang, do lang. He's so fine. So fine. So fine. So fine. So fine.
He's so fine. The
the chiffons. Yes, this. Norman Knight, world's foremost authority on rock and roll, and the Night Train be up next on I'm a Sin Evening on Monitor 73 on NBC. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here tonight, making no money and nothing. Beating that ego, man. Being a star and all that. You hang right where you are. We'll be back in a minute on Monitor. Welcome to the show. Norm is one of the best disc jockeys in the country, and he's got the number one show here in New York City in the nighttime. It's the Norm N9 Night Train. It's on Sunday night on CBS FM, and Norm's on during the week on CBS FM from 6 to 10. And he's cooking and smoking and rocking and rolling. And Norm's got a book coming out. Sometime, we don't know for sure when it's going to be out, but it takes a long time to put a book together. A book ain't like putting out a box of cereal or something, you know what I mean? It takes 6, 7, 8, 9 months. Anyway, the book will be out next fall, we think. And the bottom line on the book is that it is the most authoritative book on rock and roll from the year 1950 through 1963 that has ever been written. And what it includes is, well, Norm, what does it include?
Oh, the stories about all the artists that were on the charts from 1950 to 63, whether they're rhythm and blues or pop artists, pictures of these artists, discographies of this artist, and really the story about the music that happened in that period.
In other words, every artist that had a record on the charts from
artist
from 1950 through 63 is in your book.
That's right.
And there's never been a book like this, and the reason there hadn't, because nobody knows all that stuff, number one. I don't know how Norm does. I've known Norm for 2-3 years now, and he's a little weird, you know what I mean? But he's got this book together, and it's something else. And Norm has interviewed, I guess, almost everybody that's ever made records. And part of this show tonight, we're going to feature some of the interviews that Norm has had with people like Bill Haley and Fats Domino and Little Richard, prettiest man in show business, second prettiest man in show business, and Bo Diddley. You ever heard anybody interview Bo Diddley? Have not. No, you certainly haven't. Anyway, Norm, the term rock and roll was originated by Alan Freed, but you talked to Bill Haley about it, did you not?
1952, the term was originated by Alan Freed, and there was a lot of songs that played a part of it. Right now we'll have a chance to listen to something that Bill Haley talked to me about regarding how the term first came about.
Okay.
Well, that has to be Rock-A-Beat and Boogie. That's a tune that I wrote all back in 1949, actually it was, or 1950. And I had a couple of good friends in Philadelphia named the Esquire Boys, and also some good friends of mine, the Treniers, who at that time were recording for OK Records. And I was fooling around with writing songs. At that time, of course, there wasn't even the style of music, because we were playing country and western music and singing rhythm and blues type songs. Hadn't even made any records at that time. And I used to do a tune called "We're Gonna Rock This Joint Tonight." And one of our first records was "Rock at 88." So the word "rock" just kept coming to me. So the Treniers needed a tune, and I sat down to write this thing, and I wrote "Rock, Rock, Rock Everybody," and "Stomp, Stomp, Stomp," "Jump, Jump," and finally the word "Roll" came to me, "Rock, Rock, Roll Everybody." The Treniers recorded it, the Esquire Boys recorded it, and two or three other groups recorded it, and we didn't record it ourselves until some 5 years after that, but it was one of these records anyway that my good friend Alan used to pound the desk with and holler and rock, 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 roll, roll, roll with it. And from that came the phrase rock and roll.
Rock, rock, rock everybody. Roll, roll, roll everybody. Rock, rock, rock everybody. Roll, roll, roll everybody. Rock, rock, rock everybody. Rock, boogie, beat. You take a rock, you take a beat. You take a boogie, you make it sweet. You get the rock and beat and boogie. Dance to the rhythm.
You gotta dance to be alive. Do the rock-a-beat and boogie, rock-a-beat and boogie beat. Oh, rock-a-beat and boogie, B-O-G-I-E. Play the rock, do the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Dance to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Shake and do the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Jump to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Plop to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie.
Comments. I'm Missing Evening on Monitor 73 with Norm and Knight. Norm, we're going to talk a little rich in a minute, huh?
We certainly are.
Plus, we're going to plug that book again, ain't we? Norm and Knight know more about rock and roll than, well, than a little Richard probably does. We'll be back with Norm in just a second. I'm Missing Evening right on the Monitor Beacon.